Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. Let me know if you can hear me clear. Let me post this on my Facebook really quick. You guys already know Facebook locks me out every single time. I don't know why. Tried fixing it. It doesn't work. Let's see. Are we even live on Facebook? All right. Yep, we are. Okay, let me unlock it here on Facebook so everyone can see it. Jump in. Let me know where you're watching from, guys. Thank you for being here. Tonight's going to be amazing. Father, we pray that you'd have your way, Lord. I pray, God, for no technical difficulties. We pray souls would be saved. God, I pray you'd give us a burden for the broken, for the lost, for the hurting. And Lord, we just pray that you'd release your Holy Spirit upon every person watching on the replay, every person watching live. God, I ask you that you would do what only you can do tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Welcome to episode 172. Guys, I get on here way early and get everything ready. The mic's working, the camera's working, the light's working. And then when I hit go live or I'm about to hit go live, stuff always goes wrong. It is what it is. It's live spiritual warfare. So we just fight through, we press through, and we work it out. So here we are. Thank you for being on here tomorrow night at 6. We're going to try this for the third time. We are going to be having family prayer. We have tried the last two times. I ended up in the ER the last time on Friday night. My daughter was really, really sick for like 4 or 5 days. Ended up being a bladder infection. We got her medication. She's doing great. Thank you for praying for her, for those that are asking. But that is why we canceled, because I was in the ER when we were supposed to be having family prayer. But tomorrow night, we are going to be having family prayer. I'm calling all of you. There's 600 of you on already. I'm calling everybody to get your family together and pray with us. It's going to be a powerful time tomorrow at 6 o'clock. You don't want to miss that. Get your family together so we can pray. You guys know the emphasis this year is on prayer. We need to be people that pray. We need to be people that seek the Lord. For those of you asking where my glasses are, I'm wearing contacts. So I got a new type of contact lens that keeps your eyes like not dry. Well, makes your eyes not dry. So I'm going to try it out for a while. I still have a little bit of a tan line here, but it's all right. We're going to try it out, see how it goes. And yeah, that's where my glasses are. They're not here. April 21st, I will be at Without Walls Church in Mesa, Arizona. You don't want to miss that. That's April 21st, Mesa, Arizona. I'll post that on my website very soon. Is it what day is it right now? Oh, I should probably post that soon. I didn't realize that's like in a month from now. Okay, well, I'll post that soon. July 19th through the 21st, I'll be at Revival in the Desert. Just go to revivalinthedesert.com. That's in Washington. You don't want to miss that. September 14th, Alabama. September 15th, Georgia. I'll post those soon. And October 26th, I'll be in the Now Arena in Chicago for the Breakers Conference. I think it seats 10,000 people. You don't want to miss that. It's going to be all the Demon Slayers there. It's going to be an amazing time. So make sure you get your tickets for Breakers Conference 2024. You can just search and that's all good. Guys, be active in the chat. I'm reading the chat. I changed my camera angle a little bit. So if you're wondering why the background looks different, yeah, we'll see how it goes. You can see a little bit more of my face now. It's not as much of like a side angle. So let me know if you guys like it. I don't know. I'm just trying out some different stuff, moving things around. We'll see. But let's get started here. Tonight we have a very strong message. This is not something light or easy to talk about. We are talking about the topic of hell. I want to talk to you, what does the Bible say about hell? This is something we don't talk about enough, although we do talk about it quite often. Not as much as we should. There's two people in this chat tonight. There are those that are saved, that are going to heaven, that do not have to go to this place. Praise the Lord for the shed blood of Jesus, that the place we're talking about tonight, you will never have to go. And I take delight in the fact that Christ has shed his blood on the cross, has freed me from the penalty of sin, and has rescued me from going to hell. So when we talk about hell, guys, we realize the beauty of the cross. This is not a negative thing or, oh man, I don't want to hear about this. When I learn about hell, I realize what I've been saved from. I'm so much more grateful. I'm so much more passionate to share with the broken and the lost. So if you're saved, this is somewhere that you don't have to go. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ has saved you from this place. And then if you are saved also tonight, you're going to get hopefully a burden. Hopefully when you learn about how terrible hell is, how miserable hell is, words, we can't even put it into words, the torment and the torture of hell. Hopefully it gives you a burden to reach people to say, I never want my friends and family to go here. I never want anybody around me that knows me. If somebody knows me, I want to be able to share the good news with them so they could avoid this place called hell. We have been given the good news. Guys, we are in front of the gates of hell, redirecting traffic. People that are destined to go to hell forever because of the message of the gospel, because you preached reconciliation to them, because you're in their life, they don't have to go to hell. So we can't be stagnant about this. We can't be complacent about this. We can't get casual in sharing our faith. Come on, chat, where are you tonight? I'm reading the chat. We can't get casual about sharing our faith. We need to be vigilant. So learning about hell, and I'm going to tell you why we should talk about it. Learning about hell is essential. Talking about hell is essential. And sharing with our friends and family about this place is essential, because this is where they're going if they do not get saved, if they're not a Christian. If they don't give their life to Christ, put their faith in the finished work of Jesus, then this is where they're going. This place is real. Now, if you're an unbeliever, this is where you're headed. Guys, I want you to realize this. If you are not a Christian, this is your default location. This is the place you're going. Like, why would God send me there? God is not sending you there. You're already going there. Every one of us, our default, I got to put the mic farther because I'm peeking it out screaming here. Our default location is hell. So when you say, like, I don't know why God would make people just to send them to hell, understand, friend, we are born into sin. And so by default, we are heading to hell. And because of what Christ did on the cross, he redirects us and says, you don't have to go there. I already paid the price for your sin. So you have to understand, stop thinking like God is just sending people here. People are choosing to go there, but our default location is hell. And Christ makes a way where there is no way. Because of the work that he did on the cross, by grace, we're able to put our faith in him, believe in his finished work, serve him, turn from our wicked ways, surrender our life to him, and we no longer go to this place where Christ isn't, where hell is everything bad because Christ isn't there. So this is hopefully a warning message, a sobering message. And I want you to think about, when is the last time you heard a sermon or a message on hell? Now, I'm guilty as well. I have some videos on it, but I was thinking about, man, I haven't fully preached on this, like full message like this in a few years, although I brought Bill Weiss on many times, and I'll reference him tonight, and I've shared about this before in my YouTube videos. I'm going like, I got to talk about this more. I got to warn people more. This is not an easy message to talk about. This is not an easy message to take in, but we need to be talking about this. Pastors, we need to be gripped by the reality of this place that is a real place that people are going to, and even Christians, not everyone that says, Lord, 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 will enter the kingdom of heaven. Some, even that prophesied, even that did miracles, even that cast out demons, the Lord will say, depart from me, I never knew you. So we need to have a connection. We need to have a relationship with God. It's not enough. The demons believe. We can't just say, oh, I believe in God. The gangsters believe. The drug dealers believe. The cartel believes. They have cross necklaces as they're killing people and selling drugs. So we can't just, I believe, and then you're drinking and partying and doing drugs and there's no lifestyle of repentance. We have this easy, greasy grace gospel that says, just pray a prayer, live however you want. Many of those Christians will be in hell. Let me say that again. Many of those Christians, because they're not real Christians. Can a real Christian go to hell? Of course not. These are not real Christians. They think they're Christians, but they're actually deceived. They're actually deceived. Is it possible someone's deceived in the chat tonight? Of course. Is it possible we're deceived, thinking we're among those God has called and chosen, the Bible says, but really we're not saved? Of course. That's why they'll say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy and do miracles? And he'll say, depart from me. Guys, I don't want to be arrogant. I don't want to be prideful and go, that can't be me. No, I want to stay sober. I want to stay humble and say, Lord, search my heart tonight. God, search my heart tonight. I don't want to be one of those Christians that are deceived, God. Keep me humble. Keep me broken. Keep me contrite. Keep me walking the narrow road. But I will say this. If you are on the broad road goes directly into hell. The narrow road is the road that leads to life. Stop believing lukewarm, watered-down pastors that tell you you can live in compromise. Come on, somebody help me in the chat tonight. You can do whatever you want. You can live however you want and still avoid the penalty of hell. That is not true. So we're snatching people out of the flames tonight. The Bible says, knowing the terror of the Lord, I persuade men. So I'm trying to persuade you. Don't go here. Don't go to this place. I'm warning you tonight. I'm pleading with you. Don't go to this place. This place is beyond terrible, beyond torture. The most heinous thing anyone's ever done in human history pales in comparison to the torment, the torture, and the darkness of hell. You don't want to go here. And I'm going to tell you why it's so terrible. But we got to talk about this. The Bible says most people go here. I want you to think about that. I don't want to overlook that. Most people go to hell because God wants them to? Of course not. In fact, the Bible says God wants nobody to perish and go to hell, but all come to eternal life. So what's God's desire? Nobody goes to hell. God's desire is nobody goes. People choose to go here. They reject the Son of God. They reject the finished work of the cross. And so where do they go by default? They go to hell. How many go? Most people. Think about that. Most people. 150,000 people dying every day. And most of them are going to hell. This is inconceivable. And actually, this is one of the reasons why people turn from the faith. Because they say, how could a loving God, which I'm going to explain that as well, how can a loving God send people to hell? And then they turn from God because they say, God must not be loving if he's sending people to hell. Again, is God the one throwing people into hell? Yes. Is God the one sending them there? No. God throws people into hell, that's true. But God is not the one choosing to send them there. We choose where we want to go. If I want to go to heaven, I put my faith in the finished work of the cross. I repent, I turn to God, and I follow Christ and have a relationship with him. If I want to go to hell, I reject the cross, I reject what Christ has done, and I turn from God, and that's where I end up going is hell. So this is your choice. Ladies and gentlemen, you have a choice tonight where you're going to go. And for some of you, here's the deal. The terror of God, the fear of God is going to keep you in righteousness. Some people, they don't need to hear about the love of God. They need to hear about the fear of God. I was one of those people. I didn't need to hear about how God loved me. I didn't need to hear about, you know, God is cuddly. I needed to hear about hell's real. And Isaiah, you're going there. I wish 13 years ago before I was a Christian, somebody said, you're going to hell, dude. Now, I know some of you are like, I just need to hear about God's love. Praise the Lord. Some it's the love of God. Others, it's the fear of God. But we can't take away from the fear of God. And why do we fear God? Well, one of the reasons is Jesus said, fear God who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Wow. Fear God because he can destroy both body and soul in hell. So there is a reason to fear the Lord. Now, there's a reverence, all of that. But we have to, again, we water it down. American Church Incorporated, we water down the gospel and say, oh, we just have reverence. That's what fear means. That is not what fear means. Go look it up in the Greek. It means to be terrified. It means terror. So it doesn't just mean have reverence. It literally means to be terrified. So we do need to fear God. This place called hell, 100,000 times worse than anything I can describe tonight. In fact, I think one of the reasons why we don't talk about it is because we don't do it justice on how serious and how terrifying this place is. This place is serious. This place is no joke. Many people have gone there and come back to life or had out-of-body experiences or had visions or trances, seen hell and came back, or they had a vision and came back to their body and told about it, like Bill Weiss, a good friend of mine. I've had him on the channel like, I don't know, 5 times. This is a real place and it's terrifying, and the human language doesn't have words to describe how bad it is. It's not easy to preach about. It's not easy to come to grips with, but we must talk about it. We must warn people about it, and we must make sure we never end up there. We must make, guys, I know people, I know a friend who I used to party with is now a Christian saved. He got saved reading Bill Weiss's book and said, the reason why I'm serving Jesus is because I never want to go to hell. So he's like, that's why I'm serving God right now. And then of course he fell in love with God. But for some people, it's the terror of the Lord, the terror of hell that brings him to the cross. I don't care what it is that brings him to the cross. I just want you to get to the cross. Sometimes it's in the depth of our sin that we find the beginning of the cross. Remember, the devil led Jesus to the cross, and sometimes in the darkness of humanity, in the darkness of what the devil's done in our life, maybe it was a drug addiction that led you to church. You were so fed up with being addicted, you ended up at church and you got saved. Do you guys see what I'm saying here? Sometimes it's the depth of our sin that leads us to the place of light and the place of life. So for some people, yes, this message will, they will get saved listening to this message. So don't sit here and be soft saying, we don't need to talk about hell. Let me say it this way. I don't know if you guys are catching my drift yet tonight. If Jesus talked about it, if Jesus warned about it, if Jesus described it, if Jesus said many will go there, shouldn't we consider talking and preaching and thinking and considering it and letting people know about it? Now, I'm not talking about just walking around telling everyone, you're going to hell, you're going to hell. I'm talking about having a burden for our friends and family. Like, man, I got unsaved cousins that are going here. I got unsaved family. I want to be an evangelist. The Bible says we all should do the work of the evangelist. Like, I got to really think about this. I have cousins that are going here. I have loved ones that are going here. And as my connection goes out here, the devil is a liar. Oh, I hope we stay connected. All right, we're going to keep going for it. I got friends and family that are going here. This place exists. And for me, I had no idea I was on my way to hell. I had no idea. I was like, well, it is what it is, whatever. Like an atheist, how twisted I was thinking I wasn't going to hell. Because if I don't believe in it, it must not be real, which is so crazy. That's like saying, I don't believe in speed limits. They must not be real. Tell a cop that when he pulls you over. Just because you don't believe in something doesn't bring it in or out of existence. Doesn't mean it's not real just because you don't believe in it. Like, it's real. Friends, it's real. And Jesus preached on hell. On multiple occasions, he preached on hell. Matthew 5, Jesus preached that anger and calling someone a derogatory term is deserving of judgment and even hell. He says this in Matthew 5, but I say that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be answerable to court, and whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be answerable to the Supreme Court, and whoever says you fool shall be guilty enough to go into the fires of hell. Think about that. Jesus says, if you're angry, if you call someone a derogatory name, like, guys, sin is sin. You are worthy of going to hell. You go, like, that sounds so small. Yeah, but understand, what's small in the eyes of God? I wonder if we don't consider that maybe lying is a bigger deal to God than we think. Maybe anger is a bigger deal to God than we think. Maybe our sin, even though you don't think it's a big deal, is a big deal to God. And when you don't come under the shed blood of Jesus and what he's done on the cross, he says even calling someone a fool is guilty of the fires of hell. A few verses later, Jesus warns about lust and adultery, saying that if your eye causes you to sin, it's better to gouge it out than go into heaven with one eye than go into hell with your whole body. So he says, if your hand causes you to sin, that's Mark 9:43, cut off your hand. It's better to enter eternal life maimed with no hand than have two hands and go into hell, the unquenchable fire. So Jesus warns us, Matthew 10:28 tells his disciples, do not fear your persecutors, but fear God. And do not be afraid of those who kill your body, for they're unable to kill your soul, but fear him who is able to destroy both your body and soul in hell. Now, Jesus was talking about the Roman legion, the soldiers. These men were torturing Christians for fun. They were torturing Christians. And Jesus looks at men that were torturing Christians and tells his disciples, don't fear those guys. Don't be afraid of them. They could only torture your body and destroy your body. Don't even be afraid of the guys torturing you. Who should we fear? And then Jesus says, don't fear them, the Roman legion, the persecutors. Fear God, who could destroy both body and soul in hell. Jesus tells the people of Capernaum, because of their unbelief, even though they saw miracles after miracles, in Matthew 11:23, he says, and you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You'll be brought down to Hades, which is hell, and I'll explain what Hades is. For if the miracles that had occurred in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. In other words, God says, you are so hard-hearted. You saw miracle after miracle, sign after sign, and you still don't turn from your sin and repent and follow me. He says, and if these miracles you've seen, they happen in Sodom and Gomorrah would still be standing to this day. Do you see how hard-hearted we could be seeing miracle after miracle and still turning our back on God and still not serving God? So again, what is he warning about? Hell. Matthew 23, Jesus chastises the Pharisees. He talks about their hypocrisy and says they're leading people to hell. Matthew 23, he says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you travel around sea and land to make one proselyte, And when he becomes one, you make him twice as much the sons of hell as you are. You snakes, you offspring of vipers. Now, for those of you that are like, Isaiah, you're so mean to pastors and leaders and the religious world. Okay, let me just give you the words of Jesus in Matthew 23, in verse 33. You snakes, you offspring of vipers, how will you escape the sentence of hell? These are the most religious guys of the day. And Jesus says, you're not going to escape the flames of hell. So don't think because you have zeal and religion and you follow every regulation of the law that you're safe. No, if you reject the work Christ has done, if you reject having a relationship with Jesus in your life, and I'm going to show you that, then you are on your way to this place. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Paul says something so profound. We all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So each of you will receive what was due and done in your body, whether good or evil. So every one of you in the chat, there's 1,600 of you watching. Let's break 2,000. Everybody stop and like and share right now. Every single one of you are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Your lawyer won't go. Your family won't go. Your mom won't go. Well, my wife has a relationship with God. She's not going for you, friend. Your kids aren't going to stand before God for you. I know some of you think you're getting in because you know somebody. It's not a club. This ain't the club. That's not how you get into heaven. You must know God on your own. You must have a personal relationship with Christ. It is not enough to have a relationship through somebody else. Do you know him? Do you know him? And this is something we all have in common. Everybody watching on the replay, everybody watching live, we will stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and you will give an account for what you've done in the body, good or bad. Doesn't matter how much money you have. Doesn't matter how many followers you have. You will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's no joke. So this is relevant because I'm going to be sentenced. We're all going to be, guys, we're all awaiting sentencing. Do you know you're on trial awaiting sentencing? Am I going to be sentenced to eternal life or am I going to be sentenced to eternal damnation in the fires of hell? No one will escape that great and dreadful day. And the Bible calls it a great and dreadful day. Some it'll be great. Praise the Lord, if you're a believer, it's going to be a great day for you. The righteous will be bold on judgment day. But for others, it will be absolutely dreadful. It'll be the worst day in human history for them when they're sentenced to eternal hellfire. And I don't want to be in line to be judged with family and friends with me, knowing they're not going where I'm going. When the goats and the sheep get separated and they're lined up together and Christ separates them, and I have family with me going, wait a minute, they're not going to heaven. Because I was comfortable, because I kept my mouth shut, because I chose my comfort zone over sharing my faith with them, they're not going where I'm going. It's a dreadful day. It could be days away, could be years away. You know, we just lost one of the pastors at the church, LifeSong, I was a part of, my home church that I just transitioned out of, but it'll always be my family, always be my home church. I preached on Sunday, and one of our pastors passed away unexpectedly Friday. One of the pastors at LifeSong, Daniel, an amazing man of God, and he's in a much better place now. He succumbed to sickness that he was dealing with, but nobody knew he was going to pass away. He didn't know he was going to pass away. None of us knew. None of us knew. My sermon on Sunday was the last sermon he ever heard. And guys, so we have to preach. I have to preach tonight like this is my last sermon ever. You know, we didn't know Daniel was going to pass away on Friday. Was that service Sunday? Passed away Friday. We know where Daniel is. He's in the presence of the Lord. He's in a new body where he doesn't have heart failure. He doesn't have cancer. He doesn't have sickness. He has a new body, free of pain. And he's with the Lord now. And we're sad, but guys, he's graduated into eternity, but he didn't know. He didn't wake up thinking, and he was on vacation when it happened. Was at church on Sunday, I was preaching, and then Friday's on vacation and suddenly goes in a hotel room, in the bathroom of a hotel room, not realizing that that would be his last moments on this earth. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Friend, your last breath on this earth is your first breath in eternity. Is it going to be your first breath in heaven or your first breath in hell? Guys, we have to think about this. This is sobering. Am I planning for this? Now, you might ask, yeah, we believe he had a heart attack. We believe that he had probably a cardiac arrest because he was having congestive heart failure. We don't know fully, but we believe that's what it was. But he passed into eternity. He's with the Lord now. But guys, you don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know if you have the next 60 seconds. Not one of us, including me, knows whether we have the next 5 seconds. And is it healthy to live on the edge of eternity? Yes, it's healthy. It's healthy. Every day I go, this could be my last day. I live. The Bible says the wise think about death constantly, but a fool only plans for today. A fool only wants to party. The Bible says it's better to spend your time at a funeral than at a party, for death has a refining influence on us, the book of Proverbs says. So it's crucial that we're thinking about this. Now, when we talk about hell, it is terrible. And I'm going to read you an excerpt, and you're going to see how terrible it is from a man that went there. But here's why it's so terrible. Because it wasn't created for humans. It was created for Satan and his angels. If you were going to create a place for the most evil, I don't even want to say person, being to ever exist, Satan, how bad would you make that place? It all makes sense now. Why is hell so bad? Because it was never made for humans. When God designed hell, he never intended you to go there. Hell was not created for humans. Ezekiel 28:12 tells us that Satan was an anointed cherubim who was in Eden, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty, until unrighteousness was found in him. His heart was proud because of his beauty, so God cast him down from his holy mountain. Matthew 25:41, then he will say to those on the left, depart from me, you accursed people, into eternal fire, which was prepared for the devil and his angels. So why is hell so terrible? And I hope this helps you reconcile, why would a loving God make a place so terrible? Why is hell so terrible? Because it wasn't made for humans. It was made for the devil, according to Matthew 25:41. It was prepared. So God prepared hell. God created hell for the devil and his angels. And I'm going to explain to you also about the lake of fire. What's the difference? 2 Peter 2:4. God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness held for judgment. Now, I don't have time to go into this, but there are angels, demons in hell that are so terrible, so bad, that were on the earth that God put into hell and chained them up. So there are demons in hell in chains right now. There are also demons in hell torturing people, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. There are also demons on earth. There are demons in the second heaven. But the Bible does talk about some demons that were so bad that God chained them up. Some of them will be unchained during the tribulation and unleashed to wreak havoc on the earth. Some of them will be chained up for now until judgment day, but there will come a day where all the demons are judged, the devil's judged, the false prophet, the antichrist, and the beast are thrown in the lake of fire in the book of Revelation chapter 20 after the millennial thousand-year reign of Christ, and the devil and his demons will burn for all of eternity. So the demons in hell right now torturing people, some are torturing people, others are in chains, those demons will be burning forever as well. So all the demons that are tormenting you, all the demons that are on earth right now, all the demons that are in the second heaven right now, all the demons that are under Satan's command, take heart in this, that one day they're going to burn in the lake of fire. That's why whenever the devil reminds you of your past, you should remind him of his future, because his future is the lake of fire. The devil's future is not the current hell, and the current hell is not where the devil lives. I know we've taught you guys that. The devil lives in hell. The devil does not live in hell. That is not scriptural. The Bible does not say that. Hell was prepared for him. It's not his address. It's his final destination. One day the devil will live there, but right now, hell is a place where demons are held in torment and unbelievers go when they die. Unbelievers go when they die. And that's called Hades, which is the current hell. And we're going to talk about the difference here, okay? But know that God created hell for the devil and his angels. Now, when humans join the devil in rebellion to God, they get condemned to share the same punishment as the fallen angels. So when you are a son of the devil, you're a son of disobedience, you reject God, you don't serve God, you don't want God, you deny God, you do all that stuff, you join in the devil and his rebellion, you end up going to hell. That's the bottom line. So considering how horrendous hell is, you will see it was not designed for humans. This is where people go that reject God. This is where people go that trample the cross. This is where people go that don't have a personal connection with Christ. Because you haven't received his shed blood, because you haven't received his atonement, what he did, you are under the full wrath of God. You are under the brunt of God's wrath if you don't put your faith in the cross and you come under that finished work. Well, if God is loving, why would God send people to hell? There's a lot of ways we can go with that. Let me give you one. If God is loving, why would he send you somewhere you don't want to go forever? Okay, so let's just use an example. You're an angry atheist like I used to be. And I'm not trying to pick on you. It's just what you are. You're angry. You hate God. You cuss at God. I used to be that way. I get it, okay? You hate God. You mock God. You want nothing to do with God. And in the same breath, you'd say, why would a loving God send people to hell? My response to you is, if you hate God, if you don't want to serve him, if you want nothing to do with him, why would you go spend forever with him? Wouldn't it be loving for God to send you somewhere where he's not? And that would be hell. So don't get mad at God for sending you somewhere that you want to go. There's only two places, heaven, which is full of God, and hell, which is everything opposite of God. You hate God, you don't want God, so God says, okay, I'll send you somewhere where I'm not, where there is no love because God is love. There is no peace because God is peace. There is no life because God is life. There is no joy because God is joy. There is no water because every perfect and good thing comes from the Lord. There is no breath in hell because God is breath. There's no oxygen. There's no purpose. There's no destiny. There's a complete useless rotting away because God is not there. So you got to realize, if you hate God, if you want nothing to do with God, God has prepared a place for people who are rebels, for people who hate him. And in hell, you will have a body made for destruction. In the book of Luke, Jesus talks about the rich man in hell. The man had a tongue, the man had eyes, the man had a mouth. So you do have a body in hell. Matthew 10:28 talks about the destruction of the body and soul in hell. So you will have a body. It seems to be from people that have gone there and come back that you have a body that regenerates itself. So a body made for destruction. Just like when you go to heaven, you have a body made for life and made for eternity, and you get a new resurrected, glorified body. Praise the Lord. If you don't like your body, you're getting a new one when you go to heaven. But it seems to be that in hell, you also get a new body, a body made for torment, a body made for torture, and a body made for destruction. Okay. Now there's also actually, you know what? I'm going to go into the difference between Hades and the lake of fire, the current hell. And then I'm going to talk about the location of hell. But before I do that, I want to just read, I think this is the right time, a description of when Bill Weese ended up in hell. This is his description. I won't read the whole thing, but I'll read some of it. He was in hell for 23 minutes. God brought him there to warn people. And this is what he said. He said, as I laid at the floor of the cell, he woke up in a prison cell. He said, as I laid on the floor of the cell, I felt extremely weak. I noticed that I had a body, just like I told you guys, there was a body. One that appears just as it is now. Bill Weese says, lifting my head, I began to look around. Immediately, I realized that I was not alone in this cell. I saw two enormous beasts. Now, if you have kids in the room, this might be terrifying for them. So let me give you like a couple seconds to put on your headphones or to, you know, not listen to this because this is terrifying here. So I looked around and I saw two enormous beasts, and he's in a prison cell in hell. Unlike anything I'd ever seen before, these creatures were approximately 10 to 13 feet tall. These towering beasts were far, far, far beyond intimidating. It's one thing, he says, to be threatened by someone much taller than you, but these creatures were not of this natural world. I recognized they were pure evil, and they were gazing at me with unrestrained hatred, which completely paralyzed me with fear. Evil and terror both stood before me. These creatures were concentrated manifestations of these two forces. I had no idea where I was, and I felt utterly panicked. Although I had no point of reference, no familiarity with anything I was experiencing, no understanding of how I got here. This is Bill Weese. You can look up his testimony, 23 minutes in hell, if you want to know the full story on this. I'm just reading a small portion. He says, I was faced with unimaginable reality of torturous death seemed certain. The creatures were not animals, but they weren't human. He says, they were giant beasts that resembled a reptile in appearance, but took on a human form. Their arms and legs were unequal in length, out of proportion, without symmetry. The first one had bumps and scales all over its grotesque body. It had a huge jaw protruding with gigantic teeth and large sunken in eyes. Obviously here, guys, he's describing demons in hell that are about to torture him. These creatures were stout and powerful. They had thick legs and abnormally large feet, and they were pacing violently around the prison cell. They were like caged bulls, and its demeanor was extremely ferocious. The second beast was taller and thinner, with very long arms and razor-sharp fins covering its body. Protruding from its hands were claws that were nearly a foot long. Its personality seemed different from the first creature. It was certainly no less evil, but it remained still. I could hear the creatures. Man, this just gives me chills. This is crazy, guys. I can hear the creatures speaking to each other. Although I could not identify what language, somehow I could understand their words. They were awful words, terrible, blasphemous language that spewed from their mouth, and they expressed extreme hatred for God. Suddenly, they turned their attention to me. They looked like hungry predators staring at their prey. I was terrified, like an insect stuck in a deadly spider's web. I felt helpless, trapped, and frozen with fear. I knew that I had become the object of hostility, and I felt a violent, evil presence like I'd never felt before and anything that I could ever imagine. They possessed a hatred so far that surpassed any hatred a person could have, and now their hatred was directed at me. I couldn't identify what these beasts were yet, but I knew they meant me harm. I wanted desperately to give up and run, but as I lay on that prison floor, I noticed I had no strength in my body. I could barely move. Why didn't I have any strength? I felt so defenseless. Well, Psalms 88:4 says, I am counted with them that go down to the pit. I'm a man that has no strength. That's in Psalms 88, verse 4. I knew that it was much more than physical weakness I was feeling. Indeed, it was weakness of every form. I was mentally and emotionally drained, even though I'd only been there a few minutes. Most of us have experienced a loss of strength or energy after intense weeping, emotional distress, or grief. After time of healing, we regain the strength, and it may take years. However, at that moment, I felt like I would never recover from the strength I had lost and the literal weight that was upon me, a weight of hopeless despair. Two more creatures came into the cell, and I had a feeling that these four were assigned to me. Guys, four of these demons he's describing, he says, I had a feeling that these demons were assigned to me. And if you're getting cut out on YouTube, just join back in. We just lost 1,000 people. Somehow, I don't know, the server's disconnecting. I don't know what. But he said these demons were assigned to me. I felt like I was being sized up and that my torment would be their amusement. As they entered, suddenly the light vanished. It became absolutely pitch black. I had no idea why the sudden intense darkness had begun, but I sensed that the light that had been present had been an intrusion and the atmosphere had now returned to its normal state. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 6 says, he set me in dark places like the dead long ago. One of the creatures picked me up and the strength of this beast was amazing. It was comparable to the weight of a water glass in its hand. Mark 5:3-4 describes a demon-possessed man and says no one can bind him. Even with chains, he would break the shackles and chains in pieces. I knew that these creatures that were holding me now had strength approximately 1,000 times greater than a man. I cannot explain how I knew that. It's just a bit of information. Then the beast threw me against the wall. I crumbled onto the floor, and I felt like every bone in my body had been broken. I felt pain, but it was as if somehow the pain was being softened. I knew I didn't experience the full brunt of the pain. I thought, was it blocked? The second beast with razor-like claws and sharp protruding fins grabbed me from behind in a bear hug. As it pressed me into its chest, its razor fins pierced my back. I felt like a rag doll in the clutches in comparison to its enormous size. He then reached around and plunged his claws into my chest and ripped my chest open. Ripped my chest outward. My flesh was hanging from my body like ribbons as I fell to the cell floor. These creatures have no respect for the human body. How remarkably the body is made, they don't care. I've always taken care of myself. I've always eaten right, exercised, and stayed in shape. None of that mattered now, as my body was being destroyed right before my eyes. I knew that I could not escape this torture even via death, for there was no death. Death was not an option. Death penetrated me, but eluded me. The creatures seemed to deprive pleasure in inflicting terror upon me. Psalms 116 verse 3 says, the sorrows of death compassed me and the pains of hell held hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. And then Bill sees, oh, I yearned for death, but there could be none. The living dead, I pleaded for mercy, but they had none, absolutely no mercy. They seemed to be incapable of mercy. They were pure evil. No mercy existed in this place. Mercy is from God in heaven. The mental anguish I felt was indescribable. Asking for mercy from such an evil thing only made them torment me more. I was conscious of the fact that no fluid was coming out of my body. There was no blood, no water, nothing. At this time, I didn't stop and wonder why. I was extremely nauseous from the terrible foul smell coming from the creatures. I was absolutely disgusted, foul and rotten. It was by far the most putrid smells I've ever encountered. If you could take, every rotten thing you can imagine, like an open sewer and everything else, rotten meat, spoiled eggs, sour milk, dead animals, sulfur, magnify that times 1,000, you might come close. That is not an exaggeration. The odor is extremely toxic. That alone should have killed me. Instinctively, I just knew that some of the things I experienced were 1,000 times worse than I can possibly that could possibly be on Earth's surface, such as odors, the strength of demons, the loudness of the screaming, the dryness, the loneliness. There is pure terror of hell that you can't even accurately describe. And guys, this, his description goes on and on and on in his book, 23 Minutes in Hell, and I've had him on the podcast like 5 times. I just wanted to give you a taste of the terror of what God has created for the devil and his angels. Now, also, I want you to know, there's a difference between the current hell right now and the lake of fire. There is a popular false teaching going around that we need to describe that says when you die, you don't go immediately to hell. You just go into darkness, and then one day you get thrown in the lake of fire. That is not true. That is a false teaching. It's very popular. It's a false doctrine. According to Scripture, there are people right now in anguish in hell. According to Scripture, if you die right now, you go to what the Bible calls hell or Hades, which is the current place that people are in right now. There's a difference. So Hades, which is hell, in the King James, it's called hell, but it's described as a place of torment and anguish in Luke 16. Now in Luke 16, the rich man that dies is immediately in Hades, in hell, upon his death. Anybody that dies right now that is not a believer immediately goes to hell or Hades, where they remain conscious of their misery, their despair. And also in hell, guys, you're aware of your life on earth. And this was one of the most tormenting things about Bill Weese's experience, is he says, you're in hell and you realize nobody up there knows where you are. Nobody up there can rescue you. Nobody up there cares about you, and you will be forgotten about and you will exist in hell for all of eternity. 1 trillion years in hell, being tortured by these demons in the prison cell, in the fire, getting burned. 1 trillion years of torment, and it's just day one. Guys, think about that. 1 trillion years of torment, and it's just day one. You're down there. Nobody knows about you. You'll never be able to say bye to your family. You'll never be able to kiss your wife goodbye. There's no finality. It wasn't like you said bye to everybody. You're down there in a sea of people burning. Nobody knows your name. Nobody knows your face. You can't see the hand in front of you. You will never talk to another human being for all of eternity. This is the mental anguish and the torment that you are aware of your life on earth. According to Luke 16, you are aware of the life you lived on earth. Think about the torment of being in hell, remembering every sermon you ever heard preach. Think about that. You're in hell burning, thinking about every altar call you said no on, every altar call you didn't respond to, every time you heard a sermon that you rejected, that you didn't respond to, every time God extended his grace to you and you didn't take his hand of grace. Guys, think about that. All the moments you're in hell, thinking about your kids and your wife and being in church and all the times you rejected God, and you're reliving this, the mental anguish as you're burning, as you're being tormented. This is the place of hell. This is the temporary place for those who rejected God's mercy. They face his wrath in this place called hell, and they're judged. Now, these people in hell right now, temporary hell right now, are awaiting the great white throne judgment. Okay, so let me just show it to you because I know you're getting confused now. Okay, so temporary hell, but there's going to be another place called the lake of fire, which the temporary earth, the temporary heaven will pass away, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. I believe, and Bill Weese teaches this as well, and the Bible teaches it, I believe, that hell is in the center of the earth. Okay, and I'll talk about that after this. But I want to show you there's the temporary hell and then there's a lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 says, then I saw a great white throne and him who seated on it. From his presence, earth and the sky fled away and no place was found for them. And then I want you to look at what Revelation chapter 20, verse 12 says. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were open. And another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they have done. And the sea, look at this, verse 13, the sea gave up the dead who were in it. And then look, death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and they were judged, each one according to what they had done. Okay, so for all the people that teach, oh, you know, nobody's in hell right now, eventually at the great white throne judgment, we're all going to be cast in the lake of fire. That's a false teaching, because in Revelation 20, verse 13, it says this. I'm going to read it again. The sea gave up the dead. Death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and then they were judged, okay? So this is saying the current hell right now, Hades, has people in it. Those people will be called up to the white throne judgment, after the white throne judgment, they will be thrown in the lake of fire forever and ever. So the lake of fire and Hades or hell is a different place. You guys get that? Temporary hell, then there's an eternal hell. Temporary heaven, which is the heaven people are in right now, and then Revelation says there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and the new Jerusalem will come down from the sky on the new earth, and we're going to live in a new heaven and a new earth. So heaven right now is a temporary heaven. Hell right now is a temporary hell. At the end of the book of Revelation, there will be eternal versions of them, for a lack of a better term. Okay, so the lake of fire is a place of eternal punishment, torment, where the false prophet will be, where the devil will be, where the Antichrist will be, and that will be the lake of fire, okay? Matthew 25, 41, he will say on the left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. 2 Peter 2, 4, for God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell, fire, to chains of gloomy darkness, to be kept until judgment. So again, kept until judgment. Revelation 20, 10 says, the devil who had deceived them was thrown in the lake of fire and sulfur, and the beast and the false prophet were tormented day and night forever and ever. So Revelation 20, 10, the devil, the false prophet, and the beast get thrown in the lake of fire to burn forever, okay? So we know that there's a difference. Now, I believe the current hell right now is in the center of the earth. Now, this is not a salvation issue. You don't have to believe that. I believe that, that the current hell is in the center of the earth. The deepest researchers have ever dug into the earth is 7.5 miles, and it took them 20 years to do that. Their goal was 9 miles, but they experienced increased heat while digging, and the temperature 7 miles in reached 365 degrees, so they couldn't keep digging. The Earth's core is believed to be 2,000 to 3,000 miles deep. Think about that. Humans have dug 7 miles deep into the core of the Earth, and it's believed to be 2,000 to 3,000 miles. Now, Bill Weiss says when he went to hell, he had a weird thought or an inclination that it was 3,700 miles deep where he was. So when Bill got there, he had a weird piece of information, and he said that he had this thought that I'm 3,700 miles deep into the earth right now. Now, we don't know if that's the case or not. That's just what he said he thought. But the Bible says in Numbers 16:32, the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and they went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed up, and they perished from among the congregation. So there's a verse for you saying, like, is there a verse that hell is in the center of the earth? Well, Numbers 16:32 says the earth opened, they went in to the earth, down alive into the pit, which is hell, and then the earth closed on them. So it gives us a picture that possibly it's there. 1 Samuel 28, 13, I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth. The old man is coming up. Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? Psalm 63, verse 9, but those who seek my life to destroy it, they shall go into the lower parts of the earth. So again, when talking about hell, it says they go into the lower parts of the earth. That's Psalm 63, verse 9. Isaiah 26, 19, the earth shall cast out the dead. So again, we see the earth. Ezekiel 31, 14, when I shall go down with thee and descend into the pit to the people of the old time, they shall set thee in the low parts of the earth, the places of desolate and old, with them will go down into the pit. For they will be delivered unto death, nether to the nether parts of the earth, with them that go down into the pit. So we see the nether parts of the earth going down into the earth, going down into the pit. Again, these are verses why I believe hell is in the center of the earth. Isaiah 31, Ezekiel, I already read that one. Matthew 12, verse 40. For as Jonah was 3 nights and 3 days in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Okay? And we know that Hades had two compartments or two sides that were separated by a great gulf fixed. One side paradise, the other side torment. Don't have time to go into that. I'll do a YouTube video on that at some point, the differences between paradise and the great chasm. All right, last verse, Ephesians 4, 9. Jesus also first descended to the lower parts of the earth. So this is where we see hell being in the center of the earth. This is the difference between Hades and the lake of fire. There's a massive difference between the two. Now we know the Bible again teaches that hell is eternal. Hell is not temporary. Now all of us in the chat right now, we think temporary. We can't think forever because our brain is finite. Lay in bed tonight and think about forever. Think about when I die, I'll live again forever. When you think about forever, your brain kind of like resets. Your brain can't comprehend eternity. Like there's no ending. You go there, heaven or hell, and it never ends. It's an eternal place. Some false teachers, false doctrines, false religions teach that after a certain amount of torment, you know, you could pay the price. Catholics believe in purgatory, which is like not biblical, excuse me, at all. I have videos about purgatory, But some people believe you can somehow escape. There's no escaping. There's no exits. Hell has many entrances, but has no exits. There's no escaping hell. Once you go there, you never return. Now, of course, like I said, Bill Weiss had an out-of-body experience where God took him there, but he wasn't dead physically. Some people die physically, and then they get resuscitated on the operating table, and they come back because modern medicine brought them back. But if you die, like you actually die and you're not brought back, or it's not a vision, there's no exits. There's no like 100 years in hell, and then God says, all right, you can be saved now. There's no like 300 years. It's eternity. There's no returning. There's no exits. 100 million years will go by in hell, and it's like the first minute you've arrived. Complete sense of hopelessness, despair, suffering, that you will never, ever leave this place. And the people on the earth are fully aware. Now, we see this in Luke 16, 19. The Bible says there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, who lived in luxury every day. At his gate laid a beggar named Lazarus, who was covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would lick his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in Hades, or in hell, where there was torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he said, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I'm in agony in this fire. But Abraham replied, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, while Lazarus received bad things, but he is now comforted and you're in agony. And besides, between us is a great chasm that has been set in place, so those who want to go from here or there cannot, and no one can cross over. He answered and said, I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so they will not come to this place of torment. So what was the prayer request of this man? What was the request? What do people in hell say? Think about this. Luke 16 tells us what people in hell are saying right now. What are people in hell saying? I beg you, warn people about this place. Look what he says. Warn my brothers so they don't come here. So right now, people in hell are saying, I wish somebody would warn my friends and family so they don't have to come here. Guys, if you have family members in hell right now, none of us know, but if you have family members in hell, their prayer request is, please, somebody up there warn my friends or family so they never have to come here. Like, that is crazy. Think about if you have a parent that went to hell. They're in hell right now saying, please warn my kid about hell so they never have to come here. Hell prays. The prayers that come from hell are never heard, they're never answered, and they fall on deaf ears. But people in hell cry out and pray. People in hell ask for intervention. People in hell ask somebody, please warn my friends and family. Because this guy's in hell, and if you don't believe me, go read Luke 16. This is not a parable because it gives specific names. Parables don't give specific names. This man is begging, please, for a drop of water. I'll do anything for a drop of water. Please warn, somebody warn my brothers. He's completely aware that his brothers are still on earth. And he's completely aware that his brothers don't know about this place and they're unaware of what's coming when they die. Do you know how much of the world is unaware of what's coming when they die? They don't know that this place is waiting for them. Hell waits for those that don't even know it exists. People don't even know hell exists. And this man's begging, please warn my family. I wish somebody would tell them. So why would we wait till we're in hell before we say, somebody warn my family? Why wouldn't we just warn them now? And I know some of you, this makes you mad preaching on this. I've said this 1,000 times. I would rather you hate me on earth for preaching this and love me in heaven than to love me on earth and hate me in hell. Do you know how many people in hell hate their pastors because their pastor preached a false gospel? Do you know how many people in hell hate their Christian family that never warned them? Imagine that. There are people in hell right now that hate you for not warning them that this place existed. You have friends in hell right now that hate you for not sharing the good news with them. That's a sobering thought. Let's share now before our friends and family go there. Is that a scare tactic, brother? No, it's biblical. Jesus warned of hell, so we should warn of hell. This is the seriousness of hell. We're not talking about 50 years, 100 years. We're talking about a billion years go by, and it's just like day one. This is a literal place, literal fire, not symbolic. The Bible speaks over and over again about consuming fire. Psalms 37:20, for the sake of time, I'll just give you the verses. Psalms 37, verse 20, Malachi 4, verse 1, Luke 16, verse 24, Matthew 13, verse 42, Jude, verse 7, Revelation 9, verse 2, Revelation 14, verse 10. All of these verses speak of burning fire. Burning alive, they say, is the most painful way to die, yet you'll be burning alive for all of eternity. Nobody knows who you are. And many stories, and I've studied a lot of these stories because I'm intrigued by them, where people have gone to hell and came back. They just say it's a sea of people. Celebrities aren't known in hell. Nobody has status. Nobody cares. There's no gender. Everybody's just equally in torment, equally wasting away hopelessly, in despair, burning. Nobody knows who you are. Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, none of them have status in hell. They're meaninglessly burning for all of eternity. Why would God do that? God doesn't do that. Like we said in the beginning, hell is your default location. The cross reroutes you. Just like when you take a wrong turn on a GPS and it says rerouting, the cross reroutes you. Your destination on your GPS is hell by default. And the cross says, I'm going to reroute you. You don't have to go there. Jesus says, put your faith in me tonight. Turn from your wicked ways tonight. Put your faith in the cross. It's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. And I'm even just reading about this, and I'll have to do a part 2 on this because I have a lot more and we're already an hour in. I'm so grateful for the cross that I don't have to go to this place of torment and torture. And you can write me off tonight. This guy's crazy, veins popping out, he's yelling, screaming. But guys, we need to preach this. Pastors, on Sunday, warn people. Get on your knees. Plead with your congregation. Plead with those friends and family. We have Resurrection Sunday coming up. We have Resurrection Sunday coming up. Plead with people. Don't go to hell. Don't go to hell. Everybody's going to be going to church on Sunday. The whole world's going to be in church on Sunday. United States, maybe not the whole world. But the whole U.S. goes. Guys, this is the time, pastors. I know there's pastors. There's 2,000 of you in here. I know pastors are in here, sneaked in here. You're back here lurking. Pastors, preach about this. Warn people of the dangers of hell. And then preach on the beauty of the cross. The good news. Because the news is so much better if you know what you're being saved from. Like, I go in prayer. Thank you for the cross, Lord. And tomorrow night, we're doing communion, by the way. I'm going to do communion with my family. So if you want to do communion tomorrow night at 6, we're doing communion. We thank him for his blood. We thank him from the cross because this terror is what God has rescued us from. Complete darkness, complete isolation, weeping and gnashing of teeth, the Bible says, extreme anguish. Everything good that comes from God is not in hell. 1 John 1:5 says God is light, hell is dark. Hell is death because John 1:4 says God is life. Hell is hatred because 1 John 4:16 says God is love. Hell has no mercy because Psalms 36:5 says the mercy of the Lord is in the heavens. Psalms 18:32, God gives us strength. So in hell, there is weakness. Okay. In hell, there's no water because the Bible says water is the rain of heaven. Deuteronomy 11:11. Hell has no peace because Isaiah 9:6 says Christ is the Prince of Peace. So everything God is, God removes his attributes from hell. God removes his nature from hell, and now in hell, the opposite of God. And again, people choose to go there. God does not send you there. God does not send you there. You're choosing to go there. Now, some people say, well, Isaiah, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. Isn't God unloving for not letting me into heaven? Well, I want you to imagine this, okay? You go to a random mansion. Go to a random mansion. You knock on the door, and you say, hey, I want to come live with you. Go to a random mansion, knock on the door and say, hey, I want to come live with you. What do you think they're going to say? No. Why? Because you have no relationship with them. You don't know them. And you think you're going to get to the gates of heaven being a good person, but having no relationship with God, never serving God, ignoring God, and God's just going to let you into his house? If a person in a mansion wouldn't let you in their house, what makes you think God is going to? Like, we can't live our whole life not knowing God, knocking his door and say, let me in. Now, let's take it a step further. Imagine you knock on someone's door and say, I want to come live with you. You know, I know you have kids that live here. Say the person has 4 kids. I want to come live with you. and you go, oh, and by the way, I'm a registered sex offender, I'm a drug addict, I'm a liar, I'm a thief, and I've broken every law in the city. Do you mind if I come live with you? Nobody's going to let you come live with them. I've broken every law. So why would God, who is infinitely more holy, infinitely more righteous, infinitely better than human, when you've broken every one of his laws, why would God let you come live with you? In fact, sin can't enter heaven, so God can't let you come into heaven and live with him with all his other kids. All God's children, all of God's followers, you're going to think he's just going to let you right in if you've broken every law? This is why we need the blood of Jesus. In the eyes of God, we're only holy and righteous if we're covered by the blood of Jesus. So you might be a good person in your standard, but not in God's standards. In God's standards, your righteousness is filthy rags. You are not a good person in God's standard. So if a person that owns a mansion wouldn't let a stranger live with them, God is not going to let you live with him when you have no relationship, when you don't know him. Now, God wants a relationship with you. The Bible says we are at war with God. And this is just gospel preaching here. You had no relationship with God. You were at war with God. You were God's enemy. So God says, I want a relationship with these people. I want to know them. I want to be connected to them. But sin has separated us because my nature, I can't go near sin. So what am I going to do? I'm going to send my only begotten son, and whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And what Christ has did on the cross is going to reconcile us back together. What is reconcile? Imagine you have a family member you haven't talked to in 30 years because they offended you and you're holding a grudge and you're, you know, maybe you're Hispanic and we hold grudges. Who knows? And you're like, I haven't talked to her in 30 years. After 30 years, that sister, that family member that you haven't talked to, that you've hated, you sit down at lunch and you reconnect and you talk again and you're friends again and you're sharing memories again. It's like 30 years didn't pass. You've reconciled. That is what Christ does in our relationship with God. In our own nature, we're disconnected from God. We're at war with God. We have a chasm between us, but Christ reconciles us back to God. Christ reconnects us back to God and says, hey, I'm reconciling you. And guess what? You've been given now the ministry of reconciliation. So now you are able to reconnect people back to God. You're able to talk to your friends and family and reconnect them to God. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, you've been given the ministry of reconciliation as if God himself was pleading through you, calling people back to him. Praise the Lord. Guys, I've been given a ministry of reconciliation. That's incredible that you can speak for God. And tonight we're reconciling people back to God. Tonight I'm saying, come home, son and daughter. Come home. God misses you. God wants relationship with you. God wants to know you. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to be tormented by these demons. You know, and I'll do a whole nother sermon on Christians that go to hell. Christians that go to hell, because some of you think you're saved and you're not. You have no relationship. You have no connection. And tonight God is saying, I'm making a way where there is no way. How do I become saved, Isaiah? Well, it starts with putting your faith in what Christ did on the cross. It starts with believing in the finished work of the cross. Believing, saying, God, I believe in you. I believe you died. I believe. And then now that I put my faith in the work of the cross, it's nothing I can do. It's not by my own works, but it's what Christ has done. Now that I've received that free gift, now I live a life unto God. Now I have relationship with Christ. I turn from my wicked ways. Because here's the deal. If you say your faith is in God, you've turned from your sin, you're serving God now, but your lifestyle doesn't reflect it, you probably had a counterfeit conversion. You probably really didn't put your faith in, didn't really get converted. And unless you're born again, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. So it's not just, I believe and I can live however I want. Because the Bible says the demons believe. And James says, saying you believe, but you have no works, your faith is dead and it's not saving faith. So it starts with, I believe in the finished work of the cross. I receive that free gift of salvation. That's the start. That's the start. That is not the finish line. People teach that's where you finish. That is not where you finish. That is where you start. Once you start saying, I put my faith, it's by grace, it's through faith, I put my faith, then I start a life lived unto God. I turn from my wicked ways. I repent. I metanoia. I change the way I think. and I live for God. I receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I get baptized in power. My desires change. My addictions change. I no longer am addicted to drinking. I'm now addicted to prayer. I'm no longer addicted to partying. I'm now addicted to the Word of God. The things that I used to love, I now hate. And the things I used to hate, I now love. There's a born again experience. I go from death to life. I'm transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His marvelous light. Guys, I'll do a disservice if I preach that all you have to do is just pray a prayer and you're fine. That is not what the Bible teaches. We put our faith in Christ. I came to the altar saying, God, I don't believe in you, but if you're real, I'll give you everything. I'll lay everything down. And when God revealed Himself to me, I did what I said I was going to do. I laid everything down and said, God, I'll serve you. God, I want to know you. Tonight, if that's you, turn your life over to God. Put your faith in the cross and say, Lord, I want to serve you. God, I want to know you. God, I give you everything. Just pray in your own words. I'm not even going to lead you into prayer. I want you in your own words to say, God, I believe in what you did on the cross. God, I want to know you. I want to serve you. I'm tired of living my life for myself. I'm tired of living my life in complacency and lukewarmness and sin. Lord, take this addiction from me. Take this drug addiction from me, God. Take this lust from me, Lord. I want to be born again. I want to receive what you've done. I want to receive the finished work of the cross. I want to receive that. I believe you've died. I believe what you did on the cross. Lord, I put my faith in you. I put my trust in you. I want to know you. I want to serve you. I want to follow you. Guys, this is the most important decision you'll ever make. Don't make it lightly. Jesus said, if anyone wants to come after me, he has to deny himself. He has to lay everything down. Most pastors say, just pray a prayer. No, 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 no. You have to lay everything down. You have to turn from your wicked ways. You have to pick up your cross. It starts with you denying your worldly desires. Flush the drugs down the toilet. Put the vape away. Put the pipe away. Throw the alcohol out. Get rid of the pornography. Get rid of the movies, the music. Get rid of all of it. Say, I'm turning from my wicked ways. God, I want to follow you. God, I want to know you. Come on, right now, pray that. God, I want to know you. And God will grant the gift of repentance to you. God will grant godly sorrow. No one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws him. The Spirit is drawing you right now. The Holy Spirit is drawing you right now. Lord, we want to know you. Tonight, Father, I pray the conviction of the Holy Spirit over every person watching. God, I pray that you would convict hearts. I pray, God, you would do the work of salvation. I pray people would be born again. Born again tonight, Lord. God, snatch them out of the fires. Tonight, we're snatching people out of fire. We're like firefighters. We're going in, snatching you out of the flames. The devil can't have you. Loose your grip, Satan. Let them go. You have no power over them. They are not yours. I want you to tell the devil, I'm not yours anymore. I'm a son and daughter of God. Satan, get your hands off of me. Your reign of terror is over. I belong to God. Right now, give your life to God. It's not in what we've done. Well, I'm not good enough. It's not about you. It is by grace. It's unearned. It's unmerited favor. There's nothing you can do for this. I didn't do anything to deserve salvation. It's by grace. You receive it. It's a free gift. And when you receive that gift, live for God. Lord, I repent of my sin. Some people teach you don't need to repent. You do need to repent. Acts 2:38, repent. Acts chapter 10, God requires all men everywhere to repent. Jesus' first words came out of his mouth when he preached was, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repentance is turning away. It's changing the way you think. It's metanoia. I'm wrong about sin. I didn't think sin was a big deal. I was wrong. I repent. Sin is wrong. Breaking God's law is wrong. Turn from your wicked ways tonight. Lord, I pray, touch people in the chat. There's 2,000 of you watching right now. Listen, all of us are responding to this. Lord, touch them right now. God, I pray you would fill them with the Holy Spirit. Lord, we never want to go to this place called hell. Thank you for saving us from this place. Jesus, we exalt you. You are worthy of our praise. Jesus, you are holy. We exalt you. We thank you for what you've done on the cross, Lord. And God, I pray right now that you'd fill them with the Holy Spirit. As you've repented right now, I want you to pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you get salvation, you get sealed. But when you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, you get filled. So ask for the baptism. They received it in the book of Acts. You can receive it right now. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, he'll give it to you. He's a good father. He won't give you something bad if you ask for something good. God, we ask you for the Holy Spirit. We ask you for the power of God, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saving souls. God has drawn you tonight. You are not on this broadcast by accident. It's not random that you're here. There's no such thing as coincidences. God drew you here. You have a divine appointment today with God. God wants to save you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to heal you. Father, I pray that you would bring healing and deliverance. Heal bodies right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Restore minds right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Deliver people right now. We command every unclean spirit to come out in Jesus' name. Satan, you have no power over them. You must leave them now in Jesus' name. The blood is against you, Satan. The blood is against you, Satan. You must go. Come up and out in Jesus' name. You have no power. Lord, I pray you would fill their house with the Holy Spirit. Tomorrow at 6, guys, we're praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God would fill our houses. God would fill our families. We're going to lay hands on our kids. We're going to show you how to pray for our kids. We're going to lead you. I don't know how to pray for my kids. We're going to show you tomorrow. I don't know how to have family prayer. We're going to show you tomorrow. I don't know how to do communion. We're going to show you tomorrow. We are an army. We're unstoppable, guys. The devil can't stop us. The devil's raising up demonic families. The devil's raising up wicked families. We're raising up righteous families. Tomorrow night, we're setting our house on fire in the spirit. And we're calling out to God. And God will show up when we call out to him. Lord, save souls tonight, God. Heal bodies tonight, Lord. Restore minds tonight, Lord. Jesus' name, God, touch every person watching. Heal every person watching, God. Deliver every person watching. I pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, if you want to sow to the ministry, to the word, we do all this for free. If you don't know, this is all free. We only survive by monthly support, by the crowd. So we're crowdfunded, the viewers. And so pray about sowing into what God is doing. All the links to give are there. Every Thursday at 1:30, we gather for an hour to pray with all of the monthly partners. So if you become a monthly partner tonight on YouTube or on my website, you can scan the QR code if you're new, or go to isaiahsaldivar.com/partner. You'll get a permanent link and you can pray with us on Zoom every single Thursday at 1:30 p.m. Thank you, Angela. Guys, make sure you're subscribed to Heaven and Healing Podcast. Angela, I'm saying your old last name. I always say Angela Uchi still. I got to change it. Go subscribe. It doesn't matter because your name's Heaven and Healing Podcast. Go subscribe to Angela, Heaven and Healing Podcast. She's in the chat. Even though I keep saying her old last name, go subscribe to Heaven and Healing Podcast. She's doing a great job, and we got to get her back on the podcast soon. But I saw in the chat, so I want to shout her out there. But yes, guys, 1:30 p.m. Pacific time, we gather and pray together. It's been amazing. Yeah, it's Scafidi. I know. I'm sorry. I keep saying it wrong, but I'll get it one day. I just for so long was saying Angela Uchi that Scafidi doesn't even pop in my head when I say your name. But I'm gonna write it 10 times. Angela Scafidi. Angela Scafidi. I'll write it down 10 times and we'll get it. Thursday at 1:30. So monthly partner if you're not. It's a big turnover, guys. We have people signing up, canceling all the time. So it's the finances online go like this, up and down. So again, pray about partnering. The links to give are in the chat. We have Cash App, Venmo. I'll read the Cash App and Venmo tonight because I'm going to hang out extra long tonight because I haven't been live in a while with you guys, and I should probably turn the worship music off there. It's kind of cringe. Not even praying and we have the worship music. Anyways, so if you are blessed tonight, sow. I always tell people, sow where you grow. If you're growing here on the channel, sow into it. You can give on all the links, all that good stuff. We appreciate.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.